Welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, co-host of the Trauma Super Conference. Today, I'm speaking with Adeline Cheung, who believes in supporting and guiding her students to unveil their fullest potential through embodiment and experiential learning. She's particularly interested in the therapeutic applications of yoga. Her classes and workshops are educational and exploratory, reflective and empowering. Based in London, Adeline teaches internationally with a special interest in yoga for scoliosis and back hair, restorative yoga, and yoga nidra meditation. She's a trainer and mentor on various reputable yoga teacher training and yoga therapy programs. Adeline Cheung, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, really glad to be here.
And before we even start, I want to make sure that people know that you have several yoga sessions included in the Trauma Super Conference. And what we're going to be talking about today is kind of what people can expect from those practices, because I definitely want to encourage people to engage with them, because it's another asset at the Trauma Super Conference that not every conference offers, and it's a great practice to engage with. So I'd love if you could start by telling us, what is restorative yoga?
Restorative yoga. It's a form of yoga. It's another style of yoga. But the focus and intention is about relaxation for deep conscious rest. So there are certain techniques how we could manipulate the nervous system to recalibrate for self-regulation, for health and well-being. So in short, that's it. But really, there are also very specific poses and sequences that might promote certain physiological response as well as a nervous system response. So, yeah. So I've carefully selected some of the poses and sequences for the practices that's contributing to this conference also.
So the practices that you're going to be engaging in then are specifically designed for people that have experienced trauma or might be healing from trauma and can kind of integrate those and take in the somatic approaches that will help regulate nervous system, right?
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. So I've carefully selected the few poses that I think I myself use it a lot for my students, and I've used it also for myself when I need to self-regulate. Do you want me to share the titles of it or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So because there's a long practice and a short practice, right?
Yeah. So there will be a longer practice where I'll guide you through the sequence of poses. There are three positions, which is called Feeling Safe Again. So that will be the longer practice, a restorative yoga practice. And the shorter practice will be on opening up to possibility, where it's more suitable it's just one pose and it's suitable for someone who is now ready to transition out and would like to open up to possibility. Whilst the first one that I mentioned, which is Feeling Safe Again, it's about recuperating, recovering, healing, and being safe. So in that moment of overwhelm or really triggered, those will be the practices, those will be the sequence and poses that I would gravitate towards. So there are two slightly different practice intention there with the two that I'm offering.
And I love that we have so many ways to somatically integrate and engage with trauma work, because, you know, some people's most accessible and most immediate approach to healing their trauma is a lot of thought involved. There's a lot of like kind of top down. And sometimes we miss or can't deal with the embodied physiological experience of trauma and healing and the things that come up when we're least expecting it. And so why is restorative yoga so great for trauma, and why does it work?
Exactly what you've just said, actually, which is we speak directly from the somatic experience of the body. So par the words. I could have talk therapy and keep engaging with you through like relaxing this and let go of what has happened. And that will still be engaging with the brain because it's words. But in restorative yoga, what we do is we use the props and positions as the language directly to the nervous system. So it doesn't even go through the cognitive bit of like what is actually happening, or do I need to do anything with my breathing or etc. We allow the body, support the body in position of comfort, absolute comfort, and to feel safe, so that there's just nothing for the body, nervous system, the mind to contend or even to interact with or be stimulated. So there will be, for example, the felt sense of comfort itself for the body to be able to let go. So I don't need to actually reiterate that. It needs to be comfortable. I would also use pressure. For example, when our body is being hugged, like someone swaddling you, hugging you, so with the use of maybe blankets or props or heavy weights, it speaks directly from a tactile perspective. It speaks directly to a nervous system that, hey, you are being held. You're completely supported. So there's nothing for you to do. There's no effort needed this moment. So then you're ready to let go. So there are a lot of things that could play into that aspect of the practice and supporting someone to transition and to heal, to let go, to feel safe.
That giving your body the signal that it can relax to a certain extent and not be on high alert.
Yeah, and I often say that the props is the language in restorative yoga. We use the props and blankets to elicit, to invite out the experience somatically, so that the nervous system will just respond to that somatic experience than trying to convince at a mental level, convince you to relax and let go.
Yeah, and it's interesting because as you were speaking, I was thinking about how, you know, so much of our physiological response to trauma is not in our control, but you can set the circumstances up so that that physiological response also disengages kind of out of our, we're not controlling it with our mind. We just set up the circumstances physiologically using the props and blankets, like you said, to give our physiological responses the signal, like, it's okay, it's time to relax and engage in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is experiencing extreme pain, because we know, you know, a lot of trauma survivors have a lot of pain, that Venn diagram has a lot of overlap. And so if somebody is in a bunch of pain, how does someone begin this type of practice?
Yeah. I think sometimes gentle movements can be helpful to regulate before settling into a still, quiet position of restorative yoga. But saying that, when someone approach restorative yoga and they are already in the pose, for example, or practicing and they experience pain, I would pause for at least 10 breaths. I use 10 breaths just as a guide, but really it could be your 6th breath or 20 breaths. To allow yourself to process and notice if that is a pain that is permanent, even when you come out from the pose, or is it transient that is just in this moment? So if there is a pain that literally I can feel in my knees that is twisted, that is like a sensation that potentially even when I come out from the pose, there might be like injury, then I'll definitely move out from the pose and readjust or even completely change to another position. But if I stayed for 20 breaths and the pain actually shifted a little bit, even if it's just reduced by like 2%, I would stay in the pose for longer for it to pass. So I'm assessing whether the intensity of that sensation actually shifts, or does it stay and incrementally amplified, so that we can have a choice in that moment. Is this a choice of just fear, or is this a choice of like real thing that I need to deal with, which is my knee in that moment?
I love that description. It reminded me that I was actually doing one of your restorative yoga practices from a different conference, and noticed I had a really, really sharp pain in the back of my head. And it was so strange. And so I did exactly what you just said. And I was breathing through it. And then I was like, I think I need to investigate this. And it turned out I had a bobby pin in my hair that I had forgotten about. And it was digging into my skull. So I removed the bobby pin and the pain was gone. So like sometimes, you know, I was like, no, like I want to see if this is something that's coming up. And it turned out it was actually just a physical obstacle that was causing my pain. But I love, you know, kind of leaning into it and giving yourself the breath to allow some investigation and allow, like, see if this is going to transform, like, and lots of other aches and pains come up, or just discomforts or an itch or something. And that's the kind of scenario where you can kind of breathe through it and see if it's going to transform at all and change.
And I wanted to say that also, that in that moment when you have a choice, it's very empowering. And that is one definite, like mentally, to be able to reclaim your power. In that moment, I can choose. I can choose to stay with it, or I can choose to abandon it and just take it another day or completely change to something else. So that sense of having the choice that you are deciding in itself is healing.
Absolutely. And we can't overemphasize that. I mean, agency is such a felt sense that is sometimes taken away from people who have experienced trauma, and they don't feel like they have as much choice and agency over their feelings, their bodies, their sensations. And so, what are some unexpected but completely normal feelings and sensations that might come up for somebody with trauma while practicing restorative yoga? And then, how do you recommend people deal with them? We talked about pain, but what are some other emotions and feelings that might come up?
No one knows. Anything can happen. I can't give you a straightforward answer with that. Like, anything can happen. But also recognize that the intention of the practice is about relaxation, is about recalibration. So going into the practice right at the beginning, having this intention within ourselves. So often when I begin my practice, I'll just lie down before even setting up with any pillows or blankets and props, is to check in with myself that why am I doing this? Like, do I even really want to be here to do this? And until I say yes to it, that I actually choose, again, that choosing, I actually want this for myself because I am trying to self-regulate in this moment, then I enter into the practice. That in itself set the scene for safe practice. Whilst I'm in the pose, if someone is experiencing discomfort, I think we talk about pain. What was the question again you wanted to
What
remind?
other kind of feelings or sensations might come up? So I'm thinking if someone is, joy is obviously entirely possible, but someone also might have just incredible sadness or grief, right?
So emotions are transient human experiences, just as thoughts and memories and experiences that we have, they are also transient. But sometimes with trauma, it gets really sticky. It gets really sticky and it gets re-triggered, and then the nervous system act on it, act on the trigger. So what we're doing with this practice, with restorative practice, is we don't talk about the trauma itself. We don't talk about the memory itself. We just speak straight to the nervous system. We just speak straight to the nervous system to build, to heal, to self-regulate, to build resilience in the nervous system, to be able to handle sympathetic or parasympathetic dominance when we, on demand, when we need it. So it's not that we only want to be sedated and parasympathetic, but when I'm also stimulated and sympathetically aroused, even right now as we are having this conversation, I'm needing some part of my sympathetic engagement in order to be able to articulate and speak and engage with you. But also on demand, after this interview, am I able to self-regulate and be calm and just go about my like heart rate down, relaxation and all. So the practice is just doing that.
And allowing yourself to have those experiences when you're under no threat directly, right? That you're safely embodied, you're safely taken care of, you're in a safe space to practice. And so when those sensations come up, you allow yourself to experience them and build. And that's how you're building resilience, right? Because we talk about resilience a lot and people talk about resilience a lot. And I think one of the things that people misunderstand so much is that resilience is not built in just the face of adversity. Resilience based is built in the face of adversity when you're safe and protected and supported.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely that. Yeah.
And so that's kind of the basis of this practice is to build that resilience in a supported, safe environment, right?
Yeah, absolutely that. Yeah.
So when is it recommended that someone stop their practice and how can they safely return to it so they're not avoiding discomfort, but also allowing themselves the agency that we talked about earlier to cultivate safe practice?
Yeah. I want including myself and everyone who hear this, you can stop the practice anytime you want. You can choose at which point that it's appropriate for you to return to the practice because you are in absolute control. The first thing that someone needs to know when they come to the practice is that they have absolute control as to how much, how little they are ready to take in. I mean, it could be the most beautiful, safe pose and practice, but if the person is not open in that moment to receive, nothing goes in, nothing goes out. Like, I'm just like in that seized moment. So first thing first, when we come to a practice, is knowing that you are in control. Although we know control is an illusion, but you are in control.
Right.
And also choosing support, that external support. So if you feel safe to practice in a group with a teacher or with a therapist, if you feel safe to have external support for a while, use that. I've recommended for students also to use positioning, so which I'm going to be introducing in one of the longer practice I was saying, to feel safe again, is to use a prop like the wall or pillows, so that there's a wall behind you as you position yourself for practice. That could also be an external support during the practice.
Fantastic. And so both of your sessions, we've got an hour long, or no, about 45 minutes and a 20 minute. And the hour long, I just want to remind people, is called Feeling Safe Again. And the shorter, which is about 20 minutes, is called Opening Up to Possibility.
I'm really excited to share the shorter practice as much. The opening up to possibility, it's one that I find where the body is experiencing being fully held and supported and feeling safe, but at the same time entertaining the slightest possibility that things will shift and change and new possibility will come up. There's potential in the pose, in the experience itself, supporting. I'm excited to share that.
Wonderful. Other than at our sessions, in our conferences, obviously, Adeline, where can people find out more about you and your work?
Yeah, I do teach an annual retreat where it's all about recalibration of rhythm, so personal rhythm. And it's called Relax and Restore Retreat. So that happens every year, June in Spain. And there are a lot of workshops and classes that I teach throughout the year. Some are shorter, some are longer trainings, which are all listed on my website. So I hope to be able to connect with some of you, and feel free to email me, drop me a line, especially if you have experienced the practices on this conference. Drop me a line, let me know how it is for you, how do you experience it, or if you have any questions or clarification. I'm most happy to have that conversation with you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Namaste. Thank you.